is your Mishnah base, Perek Yud Vav Metzia. Here, it's again a two-story building and two residents, but unlike the previous Mishnah, there's one owner of the building. So, I own a two-story building, I just rent out my top floor to somebody else. Okay? And now, the top floor broke, either totally, and it's collapsed down, or even partially, it's broken. To the Chazal looked at it, so hard for us to relate to, but the break in the floor of the second story would have to be at least four tefachim on a side to make the upper story considered unusable. Just that gives you that alone, I think, even more than fighting over the debris, gives you a window into like their world. That if you have a hole, you know, a foot by a foot in the middle of your floor, that would be considered a perfectly usable apartment, and you would have no claim. That'd be considered a perfectly usable apartment, and you'd have no claim on your landlord to repair it.
What?
Yeah. If the guy lives on the top floor, if his the ceiling falls in beneath him, the first guy's first story's floor, ceiling falls in, so that the second story, the top guy, has a hole in his floor. So I'm saying, so the bottom guy can. The top guy who's the tenant can force the bottom guy who's the landlord to fix the apartment, right? But I'm just saying, that assumes, I'm just, Chazal looked at it, that assumes that the hole that's fallen through is at least four tefachim on a side. If it's four tefachim, yeah.
It's huge, right?
Yeah, it's something like, let's call it 16 inches on a side, something like that. Between 12 and 16 inches on a side. It's a big hole. So meaning that if it's less than that, if just a little hole fell in through your floor, that's considered to be a perfectly usable apartment, and you can't force the guy below you to fix it.
Which is just wild. Should be a hint as to our
standards. Right, I'm just saying. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Talk about, you know. Anyways, I remember.
I don't like this tile.
Well, how we hold today is based. I'm sure how we hold today is based on normative business practice, and normative business practice is obviously. I mean, if there's a bit of if one tile chip, you start making a ruckus, let alone a hole, a gaping hole in the floor. But in any case,
one stone basically.
It could be one big stone. It could be one, yeah. But whatever it is, the point is now. I mean, forget the fact that you've got a hole you can fall into and like break your leg. You've also got no privacy anymore. Like, yeah, I mean, it's funny, yeah. You have, but anyways, that's that. So the point is that's the
safer to put on
it. Yeah, newspaper and keep it. Exactly. So that is our case. Our case is some guy owns a two-story house. He's renting out the top story to someone else, and the roof falls in. It falls in.
You can actually spill your coffee down. You can act together and size that
room. So now what's going to be?
Sponge up.
So the mission. That's a new sponge hole, exactly. So, Habayis Valiyah Shel Shnayim, you have a two-story house that's got two residents, but again, the case is that the bottom guy owns both floors. Nifchasa Ha'aliyah, and the top story falls in part or whole, doesn't matter. Now, the rule then is the bottom guy has to fix it. Right? Ve'ein Habal Habayis wrote L'Sakin, but he just says refusing to do it. He says the house is just fine. You know, that's probably 4 tefachim ish. Okay, so it's 4.1 tefachim. No, just stick there, enjoy your house, and don't leave me alone. Anyways, he's refusing to fix the broken in ceiling or the collapsed ceiling. I think that the whole thing could fall in total. I just think the whole thing fell down. There's no guy, no house left. So whatever it is, if the bottom guy's refusing to fix it, Hare Bal Ha'aliyah Yorad V'dar Lamata. So then the resident up top, the renter, can just move in downstairs. Just move in downstairs. He can't, meaning that he can't even, the landlord can't even say, the chiddush is, he can't even say, you know, oh, well, you used to have a 100-square-foot apartment or a 1,000-square-foot apartment, and now instead of 1,000 square feet, you only have 500 square feet. Good, so you'll have 500 square feet upstairs, and I'll give you another, you know, cottage outside for 500 more or something. Whatever Narish Kite could go on. Doesn't matter. Point is, the top guy says, I'm living in a house. If you don't want to fix up my house upstairs, I'm moving into your house downstairs. Have a nice day. And that is the din. Ad she yisaken lo es aliyah. The guy who lives upstairs can move into the house downstairs in full, take it over until the landlord down below repairs the house above. It is a little crazy. The whole thing.
If the owner continues to stay in it, then he's shivering. Is he allowed to reduce the rent?
What? No!
Because he rented 1,000 cubits.
Yeah.
Now
I don't think the bottom guy's allowed to stick around. I think he just kicks him out. I think he just. I assumed. I've got to assume that when the I've got to assume because of what you're saying and just stands the reason that the when the bottom guy refused to fix his roof, his ceiling, to let the top guy have a house, so the top guy can move into the bottom guy's place. I assume the bottom guy has to move out. I'm just assuming that. Mm-hmm. I'm not imagining for a second they're sharing a bed, and that's crazy. That's super crazy. So he gets out. So there's no rent reduction. Just moves in. That's the Tanaka Mashita. Now, and that's that.
Insurance in these days, I mean, it's such a concept of insurance.
I doubt it. You know what?
They did have
insurance is only invented, as far as I know. Insurance only invented in London, like with London. What's it called?
Lloyds
and that kind of stuff. Yeah,
so yeah.
Much later on. Yeah.
Insurance guy who buys the silver suit.
Yeah, that's like a secondary market. It's not really insurance. That's like
if I die, what divorce
do you? I'm sure that things that you could make equivalent to insurance over the years, like people have different transactions, like contingency plans. Yeah. But insurance is like a business that people just. Accepting liability, I think, is a new phenomenon that emerged. It emerged when, in the age of exploration, once people were, you know, they had these big ventures, they wanted to spread out the risk because they could make a lot of money, but they could lose everything in one storm. That's a great book with a terrible name that I recommend by a guy named Bernstein called Again. The book is called, the author's Bernstein, I forget his first name. Yeah, but the book is called Against the Gods. Which is a stupid name. But in any case, it's basically the story, it's a historical story of the history of risk management. It's a very interesting book. It's a classic, great book. If you want to borrow it, I have it. It's an excellent, fascinating book. It actually gives...
Is it spelled gods with that uppercase or lowercase?
Well, it's all capitals, I think, on the cover.
That's a mistake.
Yeah. Well, it's all capitals, I guess. It's hedged. He's a Jewish guy, obviously, in Bernstein. It has nothing at all to do with religion at all. Zero, zip, zilch. It has to do with... You know, like try to hedge yourself against fate, if you will.
You have what is called act of God in insurance.
The act of God, exactly right. So that's the idea. It's a fascinating book. He even brings in the Talmud early on, although he has some pretty weird ideas about it. But in any case, but the point is, it talks about the development of everything from the mathematics behind probability all the way down to like you know modern day derivative contracts. It's a very interesting book. Very interesting, sort of like yeah, like what's the word, like a polymath? Like he's dealing with you know history and anthropology and mathematics and finance. It's very interesting. So if you want to borrow it, you can borrow it from me. In any case, so that's why I knew when insurance began. Yes. So now Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Yes. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, that is the halacha, by the way. The halacha is the bottom guy, the top guy can move into the bottom guy's apartment if he refused to fix it. Now, again, remember, the bottom guy had an obligation to fix it. He's just being a bad landlord.
What's he supposed to do?
In the meantime, he has no place to sleep. He has no place to sleep in the meantime.
So
what's he supposed to do? I'm your tenant. My ceiling has fallen down. You're not fixing it.
Your tenant is a problem. You don't fix it.
He couldn't sleep.
By the way,
well,
he can't take a cab.
I locked the doors
of
the room.
This is no small problem. This is my floor is gone. I mean, it's no longer livable, right? If you have a secular apartment, you don't have a floor. That means you don't have an apartment. It's just a shell, right?
You're losing half your floor as losing.
So fix it.
You know,
the bottom guy. The bottom guy has to fix it.
He has to. Before you can't. The minister says you can't be expected to live in two different places.
Right.
I'll give you 4x4 down here.
Right.
And you use the rest of it up there. Fine. Go.
No way. No, so the bottom guy has to fix
this. This guy is renting an LCD land or renting to two different people. So anytime you rent something that's no longer available, so you just stop paying rent and that's it. Why is it obligated to give him a second property? I don't understand the logic and that works.
He lives in a house.
Let's say he rents in a car. His car goes up in a fire.
You need a house to live in, and at my house, you're responsible for.
Okay,
you're the landlord.
So fix the house. Now the renter doesn't pay rent. Well, why does he have to give him a different property?
No. I'm not sure if.
In other words, if he has two.
The case is the case. No. The case is the landlord is the bottom tenant. Let's call it, and the landlord has an obligation, says the Tanna Kamma, to fix the guy's roof. Fix his roof to fix his tenant's floor. But the tenant, but he's refusing to. He's just saying, no, I can't afford it, I don't want to do it, deal with it, it's not that big a deal. So then the answer is, no, no, no. The bottom guy has to fix the top guy's floor, and if he is refusing to do it, then the bottom guy can just, he refuses. Then the bottom guy can kick the top guy can kick the bottom guy out. Say, listen, if you're not going to fix my house, then get out, I'm moving into your place. That's the din. However, Biosi says that he has an interesting idea. He says, Hatachta nosin es atikra. He says the obligations aren't exact like that. And the way we'd said it before is that the burden is exclusively on the bottom guy to fix his ceiling, which is equivalent with the top guy's floor. However, Rabbi Yossi says, no, Hatachta nosin es atikra. The beams that hold up, the beams that make up the ceiling are the responsibility of the bottom guy. However, like the Ha'elyon nosin es ha'mazeva, the upper guy has to put in the mazeva. We had that word in sukkah.
Plaster.
He has to plaster it. He has to plaster it to make himself a floor. Those are raw beams, but then he has to plaster to make a floor. So the Tanakhama holds plaster. What are you talking about? Plaster is part of. Plaster is what holds the ceiling together. It strengthens the beams. It's an integral part of the ceiling. And the guy and Rabbi Yossi says no. The floor, what makes the floor a floor, is just that there are beams running across that you can stand on. If the upper guy gets a hole in his, or that needs to be repaired, you know, a crack or a hole or whatever, so it's the responsibility of the upper guy to fix it. So he just looks at the lack of plaster on the floor of the second story as just being a bunch of holes that is the responsibility of the top guy to fix. So that is Rabbi Yossi Shita. However, the lach is like the Tanakhama.
Well, certainly less than a 4x4.
Okay, yeah, so correct. So we're left the room of 4x4 holes. We're just talking about who has a responsibility to fix big holes in the, like, you know, cracks and holes. Meshava gumos. So Rabbi Yossi says the shivui gumos, the repairing of holes in the floor, are the responsibility of the tenant upstairs. Of the second story's floor. So, but anyways, the Tanakhama holds no. Mazeva, the plaster is part of, holds the ceiling together and sticks it all together.
Anyway.
And, one second. What's normal wear and tear? A whole ceiling falling in?
No. You said the holes.
Yeah, okay, correct. Okay, so the Rabbi Yossi is saying, so now the question, I'll speak of the question. The Machloka says, you have a functional, like you have a ceiling on the first floor, which the second guy can stand on. In other words, he's not going to fall through anymore, but it's like beams. It's not a floor. It's like, you know, he's standing on someone's roof. So that the Tanakhama holds, that's not going to cut it. The first story guy has to make the ceiling properly because the second story guy is expecting a normal floor. It's a package deal. You need the plaster to hold the ceiling beams together. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, the ceiling beams can stand on their own. All that you're missing is, like, you know, it's like having a floor that, from the perspective of the upper tenant, it's like having a floor that just, you know, is misshapen. So having to fix, to repair holes in a misshapen floor is the responsibility of the tenant upstairs. So he has to plaster it himself. That's Rabbi Yossi Shita.
So how's this different than, let's make believe they had plumbing, right?
Yes.
And the guy downstairs refuses to fix the toilet. He has no toilet, or he has no water. What does someone do in a situation like that? Let's apply it to today. They might say, oh, I'm in with you because you're not doing it. They say, okay, fine, they call the plumber. They call the guy to fix and they pay for it, and then they don't pay their rent, or then they go to Best and they sue the guy.
Right, that's how it's
like. So why do they use that solution instead of moving into your house?
Because I need a place to sleep tonight. I need a place
how
to sleep tonight.
Sleep?
Where can I sleep? What do you want from me? I haven't got a floor anymore.
You mean the whole floor disappeared? Is that what you're saying?
Well, anything more than a 4 tefachim on a side, like this is, it's more than damage. It's like all, let's call it half.
Keep in mind, our house
was half. To say it, this is the point. Good, well, you have half an apartment to sleep in. Your bedroom's okay. The answer is no, it's not an apartment to just have a bedroom. I expect to have a full floor. That's exactly right. When I walk to the kitchen at night in the stupor, I don't fall through. It's not okay. So you can't, as Reuben spoke out, as the Shabbat Mishnah is, you can't expect a guy to live, okay, well, your kitchen will be downstairs and your bedroom will be upstairs. No way, that's not how it works. So if you're not prepared to, again, so then the din would be when, if the plumbing wouldn't work, I assume, like, obviously there's no running water then the din would be that the guy on top has to demand the landlord to fix it, and if he doesn't, he can fix it himself and send the bill to the landlord, or is taken to Beis Din, or refuse to pay his rent, or all the above. But he still has a place to live in the meantime. In this Mishnah, not having a floor means you haven't got a place to live. I mean, it's certainly intuitive if it's 100% gone. What do you mean? It's just an airspace, like there. It's like they have a place. But even partially there, you say, listen, I've got this on an apartment. No, it's just
the same thing applies to like the roof of the second floor.
Roof of the second floor.
That
would be, I think, a plumbing problem.
In other words, he can still live there, just kind of work.
Yeah, I mean, temporarily, he has to get it. Yeah, it's like a. Then. Okay.